Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, as always, it's anytime you get the opportunity to minister God's word, it's an honor. But anytime that you stand where the man of God, Pastor Hagin, generally stands in his rotation, as he's so generous to let us preach here. You know, I've known some associate pastors don't ever get to preach, and you know, we get to preach quite a bit. And so that's a great blessing, but it's always an honor to stand here and to not take his place, but to try to fill in. Amen? Glory to God. If you've got your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Here recently, I mentioned this to our student body yesterday and our employees during our time of prayer during exaltation, which we have every Tuesday at 10:30. And then, of course, don't forget Revive every Wednesday at 11:30 for an hour. Amen. And Tuesday, you can tune in. You can watch it on Facebook Live. I believe at the RBTC site, but somewhere in there. Tony, you remember where do we use on Tuesday for exaltation? Rhema.tv. Okay, so that's where we use for exaltation. But we pray and we worship God. But Revive again on Wednesdays from 11:30 to 12:30. But here recently, in looking at some of our graduates, some of my friends' Facebook posts on different places, and just seeing that a lot of folks, unfortunately, Christians becoming disillusioned. But I think the Bible has some things to say about that that'll help us as a church and as a Christian to not allow things that are going on in the world, not allow what others are even saying in other places, other preachers, other so-called, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. But what does the Word of God say? To not allow ourselves to be disillusioned. Because to find out, you know, one of the signs, if you think your problem is the local church, you're disillusioned. Amen. If you really... If you think anybody's your problem other than the devil, you're missing it. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. Now, somebody might try to be your enemy, but realize this. If they're trying to be your enemy, the devil's influencing them. And they've just yielded to the wrong spirit. So we need to understand that and do what we're supposed to do. I think, you know, this summer in June, it'll be 42 years, 1980, June 30th, 1980. That I got born again as a result. Now, I grew up in church, but in that first 2 weeks of June of 1980, I was in Lawrence, Kansas, helping be an instructor at Ted Owens basketball camp there at Kansas University. I had attended it middle school and high schooler, and then he said, when you go to college, I want you to come back and help us teach. You know all the stuff we do, and so I went up, was up there, and when I got home, my dad handed me this little book called The New Birth. And I read it, and you know, really, it was interesting. There wasn't necessarily anything in there that was new that I hadn't heard from church, but except for go on and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how to get born again. And so, but one of the things I want to say, because that, so it'll be 42 years, so over 41 years now, I have appreciated so much this ministry staying true to the Word of God. You know, there hasn't been forays out there. This ministry stayed out of the ditch. It hasn't gotten off into all kinds of, you know, winds of doctrines and different things that we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm so appreciative of that, that God, in His infinite wisdom and His plan for my life, connected me to this ministry. I'm so thankful for those who have, of course, for the Hagin family, but those who have been in throughout the years, my instructors, my teachers, the pastors of Rhema graduates that I've worked for, those that I've known. Amen. And this is not a glorified Rhema, but this, I'm just telling you that God has placed us, especially you here at Rhema Bible Church, God has placed us in the body as it has pleased Him. And the moment I get disillusioned with where I'm placed, then I've opened myself up to what the Bible calls seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and devils. Now, I want us to look at some scripture here. Of course, Ephesians 4:11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, or we know the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So how long are there going to be apostles? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. How many of you realize we're not quite there, are we? And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a complete or mature man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look at verse 14. That we henceforth is added, but that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, it's a sobering thing to think that there are actually people out there who are lying in wait trying to deceive people. Now you say, well, why would they do that? Well, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is clearly his work, all right? And so I have to be careful not to necessarily judge the person, but I have to judge what they say. Is that the Bible? Is that not the Bible? Is that the Word of God? Is that not the Word of God? Is that helping me grow up? Is that the truth being spoken to me in love? Is this equipping me? You see, looking at that, but no more child, you know, he says there that we might grow up. Now, I kind of do this, you know, to kind of, you know, break the seriousness of it, but just look at your neighbor and tell him, grow up. Now, some of you wives enjoyed that way too much. No, I'm joking. But we do need to grow up, right, in the things of God and not be like a child, you know, tossed to and fro. I was telling the class as we were talking about this here just the other day that I'll never forget when I was in fourth grade that there in Springfield, Illinois, they were going to build a convention center. And of course, it was a big debate because they were going to tax, you know, not only the city of Springfield, but the entire county was going to get taxed, you know, and so there's a big debate. And I, you know, as a fourth grader, I wasn't paying taxes, so, you know, I didn't really have a big opinion about it. But our fourth grade teacher, you know, got up and said, okay, well, let's talk about this. What do you think? You know, after every child spoke, I took their side. It didn't matter what side it was. Whoa, I like that. Whoa, no, 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 whoa, whoa, I like that. Well, I never thought of it. You know, I was a child tossed to and fro. All right? And spiritual children are the same way. But we need to grow up. All right? And that's why, listen, if you're doing these things, attach yourself to grown-up people in the Lord. They're not your boss. They're not your, but they are there to help you. Just like a child needs parents, right? Not to overlord over you, but just to attach yourself to people that are going where you want to get. All right, Hebrews 13. We're going to look at several scriptures tonight. I read them all from the King James Bible because that's the one I have always studied out of. And I take out the King James words, so I don't know what that means. But we don't talk King James. I learned that having to be a youth pastor for 4 years. They don't speak King James English as teenagers. Amazing as that might be. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which some have not profited them that are occupied therein. The meats represents all kinds of other rules and regulations, all kinds of other things. He said, don't get carried away with all that stuff. Over the years, you know, especially when you had the opportunity to work in the RMAI department and the alumni department, you hear of all kinds of things. And, you know, unfortunately, some churches have become issue churches. Pastor can't get off of it. That's all he wants to talk about is that one issue. Now, that issue, it may be a valid issue, but you can't become an issue person. We have to be careful with this, you know. Here in the last 2 years, it's been easy. You know, you could become a quote-unquote a nationalist. Yeah, we should stick up for our country, and we want it to run according to godly rules and regulations, but not at the expense of people, of loving people, right? So we got to watch how we do it, how we handle these issues that arise in life. Don't get carried away with different things, but let it be the grace of God. The grace of God. That means if I'm going to receive grace, I've got to extend it to you also. See, don't get carried about with these things. Now look what it said in Colossians chapter 2. We're just talking about some things here that will help us to stay steady and to be established. Notice he said, be established. Established. I like that. Let your the psalmist said, let your heart be established. All right. Colossians 2, we'll pick up here in verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit. Joying, having joy, and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Notice that again, steadfastness. Establish. Staying consistent. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, the reason I'm bringing these things up is because I think sometimes we become naive and don't realize that this is the plan of the devil right here, what we're reading about. And the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is warning us. God decided that, you know, to warn us concerning these things, that we not get caught off on these side issues and different things, but that we stay established in the faith. Well, what do you mean established in the faith? The faith message? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Established in faith in the word of God. Again, I mean, at least the last three messages Pastor Hagin's preached is on the word of God. What's the word say? What's the word say? What's the word say? I mean, I think in the last 2 years, I've heard Pastor Hagin preach more messages on the word of God than I did in the previous 20 that we've been here. Amen. Because why? It's so important. There's nothing else that will establish us in these days other than the word of God and faith in that word. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Like I said, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures here as time allows. You know, Wednesday night's Hour of Power. I heard Tony Cook say one time when he was one of the associates here years ago, he said it's at least an hour of power. But really only Pastor Hagin has that right, or Craig. I'm not going to take you past that. All right? By faith, I hope. Anyway, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard it should come, and even now is already in the world. Is it in the world? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, there's a couple things we could say there. First of all, let's say this. After reading that, should a Christian be afraid of the Antichrist? If the greater one, greater than that spirit of Antichrist, is already in us? And worked up about the Antichrist. No, we shouldn't be worked up about that at all. You know, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority. He's given us authority, right? Over all the power of the enemy? Except during the tribulation. No. Even if the church does go through the tribulation, we still have authority over the devil. That's not rescinded. Come on now. But notice this here too, that I bring up this idea about the Holy Spirit. He is our guide that keeps us established. He inspired this word to be written. He knows what it means. He knows how to apply it to our lives individually, and he lives in us. We've got to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learn how to listen to him. And we'd be better off if we'd practice listening to the Holy Spirit in the little things of life and not wait till it's life or death situation. Right? I used to practice here at Raymond when I was a student about which way to go out of here after school. We We had a whole lot more cars back then, and I believe someday we will again. But, I mean, even going out in the back behind the maintenance building, it was one way out. And if you were in the left lane, you had to turn left. If you were in the right lane, you had to turn right. We didn't have this light out here. I mean, it was, man, we had pictures in our yearbook of people driving tanks out of the, you know, it was kind of a joke. But I'd sit there and pray, Father, help me. Which way should I? Just try to learn. Did I miss it sometimes? Absolutely. But other times I would, but I just learning how to do things just on a simple level. How many of you know the Holy Ghost knows which is the best way to go somewhere? All right. Look at John chapter 16 now. Let's see what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. How do I know if something is of the Holy Ghost, or is it me, or is it of the devil? Right? Well, of course, we're not reading, but we know that anything that kills, steals, and destroys of who does that? The devil. So we know that. But how do I know if that's the Holy Ghost? How do I know if what's being said, if what's being taught supposedly from the Word of God is God's Word or that person's opinion, or am I trying to, are they trying to deceive me? Listen, I say this all the time. I would never ask you to believe anything just because I say it. You believe it because you see it in the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to deceive anybody, I'll tell you that. But I only know part. Paul said, I preach it, I prophesy in part. He said, I know in part. Well, if that man only knew part, oh, man. I know I only know a part. Now, what gets me in trouble is if I try to make my part the whole. It's just a part. Now, if I can get your part and your part and your part and your part, and we can all get together, we'd have something. Thank God for the parts we have. Okay? Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now look here at verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. One of the greatest evidences that this is of God or of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus is glorified in what's done and what's said. You see, if I preach and I draw attention to myself, you know, even as I tell stories, experiences, how God has dealt with me, if it's about me and it's not the main thrust is to glorify Jesus, right? Everything the Holy Spirit does glorifies Jesus. Everything. He shall, you can't make a more direct statement than that. He shall, or he will, glorify me. So did it glorify Jesus? Or did it draw attention to me? You know, sometimes, you know, as we pray and we're trying, you know, the devil's always trying to deceive us. Always. But sometimes, you know, something sounds so much like God. You know, the devil's going to imitate God. That's how you deceive somebody. You throw some truth in there, but then the air is tied to it. Right? You don't just put poison out. You put it in the food. I'm not telling anybody how to poison somebody, but you... That preacher said how to poison me. No. Praise the Lord. No, don't do that. But you know, I'm gonna, you're in prayer, you know, especially around here where we have so many that are here to train for ministry and that, but just, you know, I'm gonna take you and I'm gonna put your ministry, I'm gonna bring you before great men and da 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 and all this different stuff. It sounds, oh, that's like God. That's God. That's so much about God. But it was all about you and nothing was about glorifying Jesus. That's not God. When God talks to you about your future, he's going to talk to you about you, but it's in how he's going to work through you and Jesus is going to be glorified. It's not to make you famous. Well, I'll get your name and your name will be known. And you'll be. That's not God. Nobody needs to know my name. They need to know the name of Jesus. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? His name, right? All right, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You doing all right? Praise the Lord. I kind of like, I don't know if this is a sermon, a talk, what this is, but we're endeavoring just to follow what the Lord gave us to do, all right? 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. In other words, he's really said, I know this by the Spirit. I'm convinced the Spirit's saying this. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. This is the scripture. I kind of put it in the middle here, but this is the scripture that got me thinking about this. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now there's more that he says there, but I'm going to stop there. Departing from the faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about drawing back from the faith. Here it says departing from the faith. Jesus made the statement that in these times men's hearts would fail. But that's not God's plan for you. It's not God's plan that you depart from the faith. It's not God's will that you draw back. Paul said, we are not of them that draw back under perdition. We are those that believe, go forward. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, he said. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm going to tell you right now a doctrine of the devil. You don't need church. That's a doctrine of devils right there. Because Paul, in the book of Hebrews, doesn't it say, as you see that day approaching, encourage one another, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Then it says, as you see, but you understand what I'm saying. Are we closer to that day now than they were then? But I see people, you know, they're delusioned by the local church or by some minister or some. Well, that was your problem anyway. You shouldn't be following a man, even though follow me as I follow but follow them as they follow the Lord. But they're not your Savior. Jesus is. And then some folks don't know what the local church is, what the role of the local church is. Now we're here, you know, local church is here to supper, but the local church isn't here to raise your kids. I better move on. The local church isn't here to go out and live it for you. I'll never forget being in a pastoral staff meeting. Within the first few weeks that I was in pastoral staff meetings here, Pastor Hagin said, you know what? We can't go home and live it for them. It's not our responsibility. It's up to them to take it and to walk it out. Well, when you endeavor to take it and walk it out and the devil slaps you upside the head, don't blame the messenger or the church. Get back up. And tell the devil, don't do that again, buddy. I'm telling you right now, I got a sharp sword. Amen. What was that thing, Craig? What that? Bozo the clown. That, you know, those clowns you hit and it pops back up. Be like Bozo. Get back up. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The devil loves to get people to blame everybody else instead of to take responsibility for your own life. Hallelujah. You realize until you're free from people, you can't love them? Jesus has set us free. I'm free, I'm free. Nothing binding me, the love. We sing that. Are we living it? 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And he goes on there and says, continue in the things you've learned. So this stuff's not going away. It's not going to get any better. All right, I'm not going to leave you in this business. Hang on. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're not quite there yet, but we're going to leave on a high note, all right? I'm going to sew you up here in just a minute. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at the first three verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or lascivious, I can say that better than that word, lascivious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Making merchandise of you. Why are these false prophets, why are these teachers out there doing these things? It's because they want your money. They're out there to make merchandise of you. Acts chapter 20. So I'm not here to, this is not a woe is us message tonight. But the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. This is a disclosure of some of Satan's devices tonight. And when we know what he's trying to do, we can recognize it. When we know his game plan, then we can recognize what he's doing. Acts chapter 20, Paul said this, he's talking to these leaders from Ephesus. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's coming from the outside. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Now that's one thing, and you talked about any pastor. You know, one of the things that a shepherd does is not only feed the flock, they protect the flock. But one of the things that you is a warning sign is when people start gathering people unto themselves, making disciples of themselves instead of disciples of Jesus. The local church does not exist for you to come in and gather up your little group. Well, we just want to have a Bible study. We just want to pray. There's Bible studies go on 3 times a week here in this building. We have a Bible school. And we have a 24/7 prayer team. If you want to pray, come on. Well, no, I just don't understand that. Well, I'm telling you, the devil works through those things. And what happens is people get, they draw people off, use them, discard them. And now wounded people, now what's the devil do? Shame on you, you left the church. So I can't go back to that church because they're going to think bad about me. Can you see the devil's game? What is it? Isolation. Isolation. Now, I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with you getting together to pray, but what's your purpose? What are you praying about? Just be careful. All right? Just be careful. Well, because I don't know how many prayer meetings have turned into church splits. Well, we got to start a church. We're going to start a church because, you know, we just, this, you know, we like, no. Now, if you want to have a prayer meeting and pray for the pastoral staff every minute of every prayer meeting, go right ahead. We need that much prayer. But folks, if you want to pray, you want to be part of prayer, just, the church has that. This ministry has that. If God placed you here, God didn't raise up this place for you to build your own kingdom out of it. I'm trying to help you. All right? But look what Paul said in verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I mean, can you imagine anything that for 3 years you would continually tell people and warn them about? Because he knew it was going to happen. And people haven't changed since the day of Paul. Amen. Now, I know some of you are out there trying to figure out, now I wonder who he's talking about. I'm not talking about anybody, you know. Did I call anybody's name? No, I'm not. Just talking about what the Word of God has to say. The key there, here again, remember, what if it's the Holy Ghost that's going to glorify Jesus? What's the key there if it's wrong? They're going to bring disciples unto themselves. They're trying to raise up followers to themselves, not Jesus. Well, wait a minute now. I thought leaders are supposed to have followers. Yes, but if Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Did Paul raise up disciples unto himself? No, he raised up disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I realize that there's some subtle things there. And if you're a child, you get caught up in that. But that's all right. Listen, if you get caught up in something like that, repent, turn around, come back. I used to tell ministers all the time, and I still tell them today, the greatest place I know to get restored and healed is right here at Rhema. This ministry has an anointing on it to heal people, not just physically. Amen. And don't ever, ever run from God and God's people when you fall. Run to them. Now, it'd be easier to run to them if we would do a better job, instead of shooting our wounded, healing our wounded. That's a whole nother sermon. All right. Jude, the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. We'll start in verse 17. Verse 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. James said in his writing, he said, this wisdom descends not from above. If there's lust and envy and strife, he says, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. So he says, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved. So you say, okay, preacher, what do I do? Here we go. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do I stay strong? How do I grow? How do I avoid these pitfalls? Building myself up in the faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, loving people. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Not, listen, loving people and mercy for them. Not for me. Thank God I get mercy. But I'm talking about having mercy on other people. And on some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We should be known as those who will jump in the fire to pull people out of hell's flames. We'll jump right in there. And if we get sins, that's all right. But we know what? Our God will keep us. Amen? We'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We get in the fire, we're coming out. Won't even smell like smoke. But we're not coming out empty-handed. We're coming out with those saints who the flames of hell are trying to burn up. Now, he said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. To him who's able to keep us from falling from things. To him. He said, I love that what he says there. He said, in his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In his presence, hallelujah, is exceeding joy. In Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's in me. I'm in the presence of glory. You're in the presence of glory. It's in you. The glory of God's in you. To him, the only wise God and our Savior, to him be glory. To him be majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Love people. Have mercy. And give glory to God. If we do those things, he'll keep us from falling. Keep us from getting delusion. Keep us from falling away and falling back. Amen. And when you see your brother and sister, you can see it. You can hear it. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in what they're saying. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Help them. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for your precious holy word. We thank you, Father God, tonight that it is possible through your help that none of us would fall. Father, we know in these last days, these last times, many things are happening. Many things are taking place. You said they would happen. But you told us that so that we would be aware. And you've given us the mighty Holy Ghost that we might know the things that are freely given to us. And so tonight, Father, we pray that since we not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And that, Father, the word of God would rise up and live big within each and every one of us. We give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our prayer team's coming here. Let's everybody stand up. As we dismiss tonight, if you need prayer for anything, they're going to pray with you according to the word of God. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men, come to the men. Hallelujah. They'll pray with you according to God's word. Amen. Brother Bill, do we have any first-time guests tonight? I'm sure you guys didn't, but you guys take care of them. Thank you for all of them being here. Nobody here for the first time, I guess. All right, all things good. Don't forget we got water baptism this Sunday. If you still want to sign up, go to the North Lobby. You can sign up for everything in the North Lobby, except for children's. That's in the resource room, but everything up there, praise the Lord. All right, God bless you. You can be dismissed.